Good morning. How's everyone? Okay, all right, okay. A few weeks ago, something very shocking was discovered during a routine surgery to remove what was thought to be a cancer. You know, when the Russian doctors operated on this young man, and this young man had complained about a very deep and persistent chest pains, they found a tree growing inside this man's lungs. And here's the x-ray of this particular young man. As you can tell, right here is what they found to be almost 2 inches, this tree inside, deep inside the man's chest, right in the lungs. And it was an amazingly rare discovery because no one has ever seen a case like this before. I mean, it is unheard of. You know, the doctors, when they found this out, they had to do a double take. They had to call in, you know, the nurse and maybe a couple of interns. I mean, they need another set of eyes to look at this to explain if this is exactly what it appears to be. And apparently this young man at some point had inhaled a little seed of a fir tree inside of his lungs. And I guess the conditions were right. It just started to grow. And it grew, and this tree started to spread out its roots. And then the roots begin to attach themselves to the capillaries inside his lungs. And so it was agonizing pain for this young man as this tree was growing more and more every day. And so at the time they discovered it, I mean, it was about 2 inches, but can you imagine? Can you imagine if it started to really grow and become a tree with branches and leaves? Ouch, that's gotta hurt. You can take this down. You know, this morning, I wanna talk about another type of deep and persistent pain that could take a deep root inside of us. And unfortunately, a life finding a tree inside a man, the roots of bitterness is not all that rare in human beings. A surgeon can go in and operate and remove a tree, but bitterness requires a different kind of surgery. In the same way, the roots can cause a great deal of harm within a human being. We find the same thing to be with bitterness. And God's word, the Lord, does not underestimate the damage that bitterness can do. The Bible says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter roots grow up to cause trouble and defile many." This morning, as many of you have received a letter from me, this is a series, one of the two series that I want to do, and we're going to look at this for quite some time. The Lord has placed this over my heart for a number of months, maybe a year or so, and it's called Healing of Our Land, and I expect and I look for the Lord to pour out his grace to bring healing for all of us in different situations and different scenarios. I'd like to ask you to join with me in prayer as we begin this. Lord Jesus, I come before you, Lord. And Lord, I ask, Lord, for humility. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would cause me to walk the talk. And Lord, that I would be a shepherd, Lord, that is able, because you have made me able, to bind the wounds of the flock. Lord Jesus, I know that in this room perhaps there are some that have been wounded, but they are healed already, and they're able to move on, a stronger person, a better person. But Lord Jesus, I suspect that perhaps there are still some of us who carry with us the old wounds that we have placed a band-aid over and over, and still not getting better, and it's still infected. and it hurts. And Lord, perhaps even there are some among us that are wounded, maybe recently, and it feels like a huge gash, a gaping wound. Lord, I ask that we would meet you, Lord, this morning through your words, because we acknowledge that you are the ultimate healer. And Lord, through your power that you have given us in your gospel, Lord Jesus, we are a people that are looking to be set free. In your name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, we're going to begin this series called Healing Our Land. And I will look at this for quite some time, perhaps into the summer. And the devil prowls around looking for someone to devour, the Bible tells us. In other words, the devil looks around to consume the spiritual vitality of wounded believers. And so all the grace that was supposed to flow within the life of a believer is perhaps missed when bitterness has taken root deep inside of us. That's what the scripture tells us. But there's a famous cliche that goes like this, and maybe many of you have heard this before, that time heals all wounds. Ever heard of that one? And it sounds really nice. Sounds like something you get when you open up a fortune cookie. And it even sounds almost biblical. But yet it's not true. You see, unresolved wounds are remembered for a long time. Time may erode some of the emotional charge for the moment, but people do not forget past pains. And so when people touch those old wounds, their emotions may flare up like it happened yesterday. You see, time does not heal all wounds. Now consider some of the old wounds that are still active today in our world. You know, in Israel and Syria, in a bitter dispute over this land, not a big piece of land, called the Golan Heights. As history says, you know, Israel came and by military operation, they took this. So Syria claims that they were robbed by Israel. And this all started in 1967. Time does not heal all wounds. And since World War II, unlike Germany, Japan has yet to validate the hurt that they have placed and put on the neighboring countries. Germany has taken steps to admit guilt, especially over the Holocaust. But there has been very little public recognition of Japan's aggression in World War II. There is no apology from the government, nor do their textbooks reflect the atrocities that happened over 60 years ago. You see, time does not heal all wounds. And this week we read in the newspapers that North Korea sat down with the South Koreans, and this talk that they were supposed to have only lasted 22 minutes before each side started to walk out. And the Korean War was over 50 years ago. You see, time does not heal all wounds. And perhaps, if I may, just to bring this a little bit closer to home, the past hurts from people who are close to us also do not heal over time. It's always those that are close to us who potentially can hurt us the most. It is because if you share a special friendship together, or share a successful business together, or share the same biological bloodlines, or maybe you share the same fellowship at church together, or maybe even share a marriage covenant together. In our scripture reading this morning, Psalms 55, I chose that because in it, David writes in the first few verses about how his heart is anguished. It sounds like, something was bothering him deep inside of him. And he writes about the voice of the enemy, which troubles him. He writes about the stare downs he gets. And how, you know, there are people, his enemies, there are people out there that are looking to bring him down and to project their anger towards him. And only later in this same chapter of Psalms 55 do we find the source of his pain. It is from someone that is very close to him. Where David says, this is from a scripture reading, it says that if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If it was a foe, were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, in other words, a peer, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship. In other words, someone that's within the Christian community, as we walked with the throng at the house of God. That seems to suggest at the house of God, maybe someone that is in your own church. The old wounds from family members, both biological family and spiritual family, seem to hurt the most. And we tend to remember a hurtful comment coming from a brother or a sister in the Lord for a long time. And we recall clearly how we have felt perhaps betrayed or abused by someone we once had trusted, that we were offended by perhaps a broken promise, a broken confidence, rejection, false accusations, or some type of abuse. And these past pains all have the potential to grow roots deep inside of us. Let me just tell you something loud and clear. The devil is so eager to take advantage of any existing wounds which are not touched and healed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the scripture tells us, in our adult Sunday school, we're learning about this, that the devil is ever ready, looking for an opening somewhere within a church to operate, to have a foothold. And the Bible does not call him a prowling lion or a cunning serpent for nothing. He's been holding people back for thousands of years when you think about it. He has a lot of experience of hurting people, especially in God's house. And he wants bitterness to grow so that you and I would miss the grace that was flowing our way, that comes from our Heavenly Father, the gift from him. He wants us to miss those things. And he will look for any weaknesses, any hurts, any open wounds, unrepentant sins, regardless of how long ago it was, to establish a stronghold for him to operate. You see, there is a binding power to unresolved wounds. And we can deceive ourselves all we want by thinking, you know, time heals all wounds. Or just let bygones be bygones. We have heard that before. But you know, that only works if you don't have to see each other's face ever again. But what happens if you need to relate to each other, especially on a weekly basis? Within a community of people who claim to know the gospel, you know, past wounds need to be treated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, this week, you know, I had a lunch with some pastors, and this one pastor says, you know, I have this new theology, and then, you know, the rest of us kind of turn around like, oh, is that right, new theology? Well, let's hear this, you know. And so he says this, if heaven is supposed to be a place without sin, and we said, yes, that's true, you know, if heaven is a place without sin, then how would God open the gates for you if you still have a lot of negative feelings about another brother or sister in the Lord? Because you can't march into heaven with the same feelings that you had when you were alive on earth. Something has to change. Otherwise, I mean, if heaven's supposed to be a place without sin, how do we explain that? I thought it was a good point. You see, past wounds need to be treated. Otherwise, the damage becomes greater than the original wound. And so there's a legacy of unresolved wounds that threaten how we live in our own future. And this morning, I want us to look into the Old Testament, and we'll find a man named Shimei who has allowed his past hurts to define his future. Can you turn with me this morning to 2 Samuel, verse 16? 2 Samuel, verse 16, I'll read from verse 5 to 14, subtitled, Shimei Curses David. 2 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 5, Shimei curses David. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera. And he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. Through all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a man of blood. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king said, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? David then said to Abishai and all his officials, my son, who is of my own flesh, is trying to take my life. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone, let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I am receiving today. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there he refreshed himself. As we look into this passage, the character of Shimei is about a person who is bounded by past wounds. We find several typical traits of bitterness within a person. You know, verse 5 mentions that Shimei came out and he was cursing. And so the first trait we find here is that a bitterness within a person is trapped in a prison of bitterness. So for Shimei, as he came out cursing, obviously there was something inside, deep inside of him that was bottled up. There was anger. There was a lot of hurt for something that happened in the past. And we don't find much dialogue between Shimei and David. I mean, he just came out swinging, full of steam, full of anger, being projected onto David. And his behavior was stemming really from something that happened in the past. You see, the Bible says that since he was from the tribe of Benjamin, the previous king and King Saul, he was also a Benjamite. That means for Shimei, David was the person that took away something that he had held dear to him. And it's very possible, that David was guilty of bloodshed since he was a military man. And God told David himself that he would not build God's temple because of all the violence that he was involved with. The Lord had said to David in that particular instance, he says that you are not to build a house for my name because you are a warrior and have shed blood. So it is likely that Shimei stayed low when David took over the throne. When David was strong, he stayed low. But now, after many years, David himself is being chased out of the throne by his own son, Absalom. And so what we have here is Shimei taking the opportunity to kick a man while he's down. Basically, that's what's going on here. And so despite all the years that have passed since David had took over the kingdom after Saul, Shammai was trapped in his own prison, perhaps every single day, recycling over what David has done. And so Solomon wrote a proverb that goes like this: "A offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel." You know, wounded people can build up great walls to protect themselves from being hurt again. Naturally, as human beings, we don't want that unpleasant, painful experience ever to happen again. So we build these walls. And they will be very careful not to allow that kind of hurt to happen again, to get past those great walls. But these walls that were built up for protection often become prison walls for the hurting. You see, they will not allow any individual or anyone in their lives if they don't validate and join in their past hurt. See, you almost have to share in their bitterness and validate the bitterness in order to get close to them. Otherwise, you won't have that access. Did they have a hard time loving people the way Jesus did when they're behind those great walls? And for them to trust people again is something very hard. Again, behind those walls that were meant for protection, but they became prison walls. And so we find Shammai in verse 7 coming out, cursing, and just yelling out, you know, "Get out! Get out!" You know, when we are hurt, we naturally want those who hurt us to get out of our view, to get out of my path, to get out of my life. I mean, if they go into this room, then we want to get out of that room. You know how that works. If they go to this event, then we will avoid that particular event. If they go to this church, then we'll go to another church. You see, we want to preserve this wall that we have built. A prison in your bitterness. A next trait is of a bitter person is to be blinded to your own faults. You know, John the Apostle wrote this. He says that whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. So in this passage, while Shammai is angry about being hurt in the past, he doesn't see how his own actions right now is hurting others. Verse 14 tells us that Shammai has caused a lot of stress on other people to the point where when they got to their destination, everybody was just exhausted. I mean, he is cursing, throwing stones, he's showering dirt on people while he's accusing them of what happened in the past. And there's no interest in a dialogue because Shammai only sees 100% that he is right and that David is 100% wrong. He only sees how others have hurt him, but not how his own actions may have injured other people as well. And the wrongdoing of others are so clearly seen, but yet your own faults remain unseen, unrecognized. I mean, do we know people like that? Maybe if we're honest to ourselves, maybe we are like people like that. You know, Jesus says this, and we all know this passage. You know, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I mean, Jesus realized that everybody's got something in their eye. He knows that. God knows that. So Jesus did not say that, you know, you were wrong in pointing out the sawdust, because indeed there is a sawdust in there. But the point is that you need to look at yourself first, you see. You know, I remember one guest speaker a while back, maybe several years ago. His name was Brooke Solberg. You recall Brooke Solberg? And, you know, if you don't remember, he was someone that was well into his 70s. He's an older gentleman. And originally he was from Brooklyn. And he said that, you know, he's been pastoring for so many years. And he said that, you know, as he got older, he realized several things. that while he was younger, he was keenly aware of how others have hurt him as a pastor. And now that he is older, retired and in his 70s, he started to be more aware of how much he may have hurt others in his lifetime as a pastor. And I found those words to be very humbling, very wise words I remember to this day. Another trait of bitterness is to be eager for revenge. Instead of putting it into God's hands, Shimei went out to look for justice himself. Verse 5 says that as soon as he saw David, he cursed him. He thought that David finally got what he deserved, that he was waiting so long for this day, for justice to be done to this person who had hurt him in the past so much. I mean, can we relate to what Shimei is feeling here? We sometimes fantasize about certain scenarios to see the person that has injured us and hurt us in the past to kind of suffer a little bit. You know, we honestly would not mind seeing them go down. You know, we say to ourselves, you know, oh, I hope he gets it someday, gets caught someday, some kind of justice someday. And we also find Shimei not only thinking bad thoughts, but he was throwing stones. He was throwing dirt on people. And he knows that if he comes out with a sword, you know, against the king, the bodyguards will kill him. So what does he do? Instead, he fights with a different method. You see, that speaks to you and I this morning, that in our natural eagerness for revenge, we seldomly pull out a knife or a gun to blow somebody away. I mean, generally, we're not going to do that. But instead, to get back at people, what do? We fight dirty. You know, dirty fighting is the silent treatments, is the anger and the resentment where no one knows about. Dirty fighting is sowing unfavorable news about them with others, hoping to bring more and more people into your perception of things. It is gossiping. It is sarcasm, blaming, ignoring, rejection. These are different kinds of stones and dirt we throw on people. And we do all these things because we feel like injustice was done to us. So instead of having faith that God is the one that's in control, we take it upon ourselves for justice. And that kind of justice does not take any faith. Dirty fighting ignores God's oath that he made to us when he says that it is mine to avenge, I will repay. It takes faith to believe in that. To fight dirty doesn't take any kind of faith. And so now that Shimei, you know, got even with David, what would be David's reaction to these hurts? Because obviously David is a human being. He's hurt by this as well, as Shimei is just pouring it on. Would he also, like Shimei, wait for the opportunity down the road to get revenge, to kick him when he's down? And so David has a choice. He has a choice to make over how to process this hurt that has been inflicted by other people. You see, there has to be a difference if you claim that we have God in our lives and God is part of this picture here. Someone has to break this cycle of bitterness towards each other. And so David's men, as the Bible says, you know, wouldn't hesitate to get even by their own means. One of them says, I'll go there and take care of this for you. David, just give me a word. I'll go and take care of this. But David would process his hurt differently. Likewise, you know, for us who claim to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, we too have to deal with our hurts differently. Let's just find out what happens, what unfolds a few chapters down. I'd like for you to flip a couple of pages to chapter 19, 2 Samuel chapter 19. Second part of verse 18, I'm going to read 18 to 23. second part of verse 18. It reads this: when Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, "May my Lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my Lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I have come here at the first of the whole house of Joseph to come down and meet my Lord the king." Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed." David replied, "What do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? This day you have become my adversaries. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Do I not know that today I am king over Israel?" So the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him on oath. We find here that there's really a lot to be said about this topic of unresolved wounds. As I mentioned before, we're going to take our time in several weeks to look over this. I'm going to talk about the freedom that comes from confession and how confession is celebrated, what happens when reconciliation does not work, and the joy of being released from our hurts and how this impacts an entire church. But for today, because of time, I want to end with just this thought. I want to end with a thought that God's grace flows through repentance and forgiveness. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and said, you know, "Father, forgive them," we find in the scriptures that when he did that, the blood and the water flowed from his body. I know Easter is past already, but let me just remind you the cross. That blood and water flow from his body. That his shed blood is the forgiveness of sin. We can easily see that. But the water that flowed from his side is about the new grace that is coming to a people that is forgiven. That somewhere between chapter 16 and chapter 19, however long that really was, Shimei started to see his own faults. That David may still be guilty of the bloodshed that he has committed in the past. But the perception now has changed that let God be judge over that one. You see, Shimei can't tell God what to do or when and how to exercise his justice. Shimei can't control David's response of what he will say, what he will do now that he's coming back as a king. But he can control his own actions. That's what Shimei could do. Shimei can take ownership of his own wrong that he has done to David. And David, in return, refuses to be trapped by bitterness, refused to build up that wall. And he was gracious to Shimei because David remembered. He remembered well how the Lord had forgiven him for his adultery, for his shameful murder, and all the sins that he has committed in his life. He remembers them well. Hours of pleading before the Lord to forgive him. You see, it is easier for you and me to forgive when we realize exactly how much God has forgiven us. And Shimei, we find here that he is very specific with his confession. It was not vague. It wasn't very general so that you don't really know exactly what he's apologizing for. I mean, Shimei did not offer a half-hearted confession like we hear on TV today. You know, he didn't say, you know, "David, I'm sorry for this unfortunate situation." Or one of those, you know, "If you're offended, then I am truly sorry. I didn't intend for that to happen." Or one of those partial confessions. You know, it was a very emotional time, "David, I misjudged the situation." Look at how Shimei took ownership of his own faults. In verse 20, it says this. He says, "For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. You see, we don't know what opened up his eyes finally, but something clearly broke through in Shimei's life. And for us today, you know, God is looking to do some breakthroughs here in individuals and for us as a church who's been around for 75 years. James 5 in the New Testament connects confession and healing together. You can't separate the two. The Bible says that confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You see, we need the power of Jesus Christ to break us free from those old wounds. Reading another conflict resolution book is not going to do it, because, quite frankly, more information is not what's needed. You see, character transformation is what healing calls for. Trying to avoid certain people or certain circumstances is not going to do it. Constantly being angry or blaming the other person doesn't work either. And not only that, it takes a lot of energy to keep doing that. Believe me, I know it. You know, God's grace flows from repentance and forgiveness. And so when Shimei, it's important to note as I close here in this passage, when Shimei humbly came before David in repentance, he did not come alone. He came with about 1,000 other people, but not just regular people in Israel. He came with 1,000 people from his own tribe, the tribe of Benjamin. These were 1,000 Benjamites that were behind him. And so you get a picture here of 1,000 people who were part of some type of wounding in the past. And that these were diehard loyalists of the previous administration of Saul. And Shimei not only found freedom from the past wounds for himself, but he also helped set other people free. You know, in the beginning of my message to you, I read to you this verse. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, there's a corporate application to this. And bitterness always seeks partners to be miserable with. But yet the reverse can also happen. You see, God's grace can turn our darkness into light, the Bible says. God can use what was used for evil and use it for good. You see, when bitterness is broken, it sets people free. You know, as I close this message, where do you see yourself? In light of this passage, are you like David, who is ready to forgive because you know that God has forgiven you of many, many shameful sins? Are you like Shimei? Maybe you have thrown enough stones and dirt on people in your lifetime because somebody has hurt you, somebody has sinned against you and wounded you. You know, I suspect that perhaps in this small room here, everyone here is in both categories to some measure. That you have sinned against someone, and that someone has also sinned against you. And you want to be released from those wounds. And you want to move on in life, not wounding other people either. And I want to just close in prayer, and I want to pray specifically for those of us that are wounded, and I know you're here. And I want the encounter between you and the Lord Jesus to happen, because I know that that is where the freedom begins. And I want you to close your eyes with me. And I'm not going to ask anyone to raise hands. This is not going to be an altar call, but I want to pray for the wounded this morning. And God knows who they are. I'm a human being. I'm just a pastor. And I don't know everyone's case. But God knows exactly who is wounded here. And I want to pray on your behalf this morning. Father, through your Spirit of truth, we recognize our own bitter roots. Lord Jesus, search beyond our spiritual pride. Search beyond the denials and just uncover the damage that others have done to us. Father, Lord, we come to your house this morning. Lord, rather than to recycle the hurt over and over again, living behind the prison of our own walls, we give it to you, Lord Jesus, and we forgive in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help them to extend the forgiveness that you have shown them. Let them see the magnitude of the sins that has grieved your heart that you have taken away on the cross. And now, Lord, you want them to do likewise. Lord Jesus, set them free as they set others free, especially those who have hurt them as they set them free as well through their forgiveness. Lord, this morning we trust in your healing power. We trust that you are doing something in this 75-year-old church that perhaps has been done here or in a lot of other places. Lord Jesus, we don't want to miss out on that flow of grace that you have sent towards a place called Grace Faith. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.